Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Sunday, April 26th. You know what we say, Happy Resurrection Day. As we think about the Lord's resurrection and what that means for us, may we lift our hearts and voices in praise. Thank you, Lord, for defeating hell, death, and the grave. We look forward and long for the day when we too will be with you forever in the new heavens and the new earth. On Sundays, we go to a passage in Deuteronomy, which is the sermon passage. Today we're looking at Deuteronomy 4, 15 through 24. This is a passage that reminds the people of Israel before they head out into the promised land about the importance of only worshiping the one true God and not having any idols. Do you remember which commandment of the Ten Commandments is about idol worship? Number 2, it says you should not make for yourself an idol. Now, if you're thinking about the hand motions that go with the Ten Commandments, remember there are 2 fingers and one of them bows down to the other. Like you're bowing down to an idol. That's how you remember it's the second one. If you don't know what I'm talking about with the hand motions, text me or call me. It is worth 10 minutes, and I promise you, you'll learn the Ten Commandments by doing the hand motions. All right, let's move into the scripture, Deuteronomy 4, starting in verse 15. I'm going to be reading from the Christian Standard Bible. Diligently watch yourselves, because you did not see any form on the day the Lord spoke to you out of the fire at Horeb. So you don't act corruptly and make an idol for yourselves in the shape of any figure, a male or female form, or the form of any animal on the earth, any winged creature that flies in the sky, any creature that crawls on the ground, or any fish in the waters under the earth. When you look to the heavens and see the sun, moon, and stars, all the stars in the sky, do not be led astray to bow and worship to them and serve them. The Lord your God has provided them for all people everywhere under heaven. But the Lord selected you and brought you out of Egypt's iron furnace to be a people for his inheritance, as you are today. The Lord was angry with me on your account. He swore that I would not cross the Jordan and enter the good land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. I won't be crossing the Jordan because I'm going to die in this land. But you are about to cross over and take possession of this good land. Be careful not to forget the covenant of the Lord your God that he made with you. And make an idol for yourselves in the shape of anything he has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. As Moses was speaking with the people of Israel, he had to be thinking back to the time when Aaron made for the people an idol. It was a golden calf. Jen Wilkin talks about how ridiculous this was in her book, 10 Words to Live By. She says, think of the enormity of the lie the golden calf tells. It is small, but God is immense. It is inanimate, but God is spirit. It is location bound, but God is everywhere, fully present. It is created, and God is uncreated. It is new, and God is eternal. It is impotent, but God is omnipotent. It is destructible, and God is indestructible. Amen. I can go on and on. She talks about the fact that when we make an idol, we're trying to make God small. We're trying to highlight one aspect, maybe, of who he is. And just a couple of ways that we, as people in the modern times, make idols, and we make an idol perhaps out of the prosperity gospel and wealth. We also take on that works-based righteousness again and again that Romans reminded us. It's not about your works. as a means of salvation. Rather, it is about faith in Jesus, who has accomplished our salvation for us. We can also make people into idols. And also we can place emphasis on one characteristic of God more than another and idolize the God that we kind of make in our minds. Jen Wilkins says, we must not make images of God because we ourselves bear the image of God, but because of sin, we do so in a diminished way. No one has imaged God perfectly except one. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of creation. I'm speaking of Jesus, our Lord, who is the perfect example of God, according to Colossians 1:15. And now let us move to the Psalms. Today we're in Psalm 105, verses 1 through 15. One of the commentaries I read called this an epic psalm, and I had to look up the word epic. It's a long narrative poem about heroic deeds and big history shaping events. It's about God here, who starts with a nation that is very, very small. As it says in verse 12, they were few in number. And then it talks about how God worked his goodness and grace in their lives. And the psalm ends when the people of Israel are in the desert and God is providing for them from the rock, and he has already parted the Red Sea. A fun fact about this psalm is that verses 1 through 15 are also in 1 Chronicles 16:8 through 22. This psalm is re-recorded there in association with the Ark's procession into Jerusalem. So this is a very celebratory psalm reminding us of God's faithfulness to his people. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Proclaim his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell about all his wondrous works. Boast in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wondrous works he has done, his wonders and the judgments he has pronounced. You offspring of Abraham, his servant, Jacob's descendants, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments govern the whole earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the promise he ordained for 1,000 generations. The covenant he made with Abraham, swore to Isaac, and confirmed to Jacob as a decree, and to Israel as a permanent covenant. I will give the land of Canaan to you as your inherited portion. When they were few in number, very few indeed, and resident aliens in Canaan, wandering from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another, he allowed no one to oppress them. He rebuked kings on their behalf. Do not touch my anointed ones or harm my prophets. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. This psalm reminds us that we should tell about the wondrous works of the Lord. How have you seen God's strength show up in your life? How have you experienced God's presence? I hope that today you're able to reflect on those questions and that you'll be able to join us in worship, either in person or via live stream. Let us end today with a prayer for spiritual leaders from the book Prayers from the Heart by Richard Foster. Will you pray with me? I pray, dear God, for our spiritual leaders. Increase in them the grace of faith that they might preach the word of God with boldness. Increase in them the grace of wisdom that they might guide us into the way. Increase in them the grace of pastor that they might always lead us with compassion and strength. I intercede, O Lord, for our spiritual leaders. Grow in them the fruit of gentleness, that they might understand our frailty. Grow in them the fruit of peace, that they might be free of manipulation. Grow in them the fruit of love, that they might always serve out of a divine wellspring. I plead, gracious Father, for our spiritual leaders. Protect them from the attacks of the evil one. Protect them from the distractions that render their work ineffective. Protect them from the criticism of well-meaning people. All these things I ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.